if we and some of our competitors together managed to steal some of the rights that are today still taken by car, then we are super happy.
Welcome to the Growth Show. What keeps us driving is what drives you further. This is your hosts, Sebastian Kunz
and Sarah Kaya.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of The Growth Show. We are very, very excited to have Julian Blessin with us today. Julian is the co-founder at Tier Mobility. For the very few people out there who don't know what Tier Mobility is, it's one of the hottest startups right now in Germany, and not just in Germany, but also in other countries in Europe, which we will touch throughout this conversation. And Tier offers e-scooters, mainly in big cities, which you can rent via a smartphone app. And this has been around since around April this year, and we see this everywhere on the street. So we're very, very excited to have you. Julian, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi guys, thank you for having me.
So Julian, just to just kick off our conversation, if you connect the dots, growth and yourself, how would you describe it?
Your famous intro question. I love it. So personal growth, I was thinking about it and I realized that I never had a systematic approach to personal growth or to personal development. I rather, like, if I think back, I guess what made me grow was a lot of role models in my life, not so much celebrities or any fancy role models, rather people in my close environment. So starting with my grandfather or early teachers, also in university or my first boss, for example. So that made me, I think, grow personally, where I could relate to. And maybe later in my career, there were some points where there was quite some systematic personal growth. For example, I spent before joining Tier, I spent the last 4 years with Boston Consulting Group with Digital Ventures, and there the DNA is pretty much personal growth oriented. So you would have your quarterly evaluations and set your goals, and then see how you can grow personally on different dimensions, for example, like team leadership and so on. So there was quite a systematic approach, and I enjoyed it. It helped me a lot, I guess, these 4 years. However, it's not in my personal DNA to set myself like personal growth goals. I rather have a vague goal and see what takes me there and take it from there.
Very, very cool. And going down in your career, we can see that you also worked at Coop Mobility from 2016 to 2017. Is this related to Tier in some extent, because you also were the head of growth there?
It's a very similar model. So both are in micromobility. So for the listeners who don't know, Coop e-mobility or e-scooters is also e-scooters to rent via an app, but the bigger ones, or so the Vespa size e-scooters, you can rent here in Berlin, in Paris, and in Madrid. I had the pleasure to launch that project while working at BCG Digital Ventures. So it was not my company. It's actually owned by Bosch. So the big corporate. It was quite early in the days where mobility was not as hyped as it is today. Still, yeah, super cool product still, and Of course, it helped me a lot to head start then TIER.
Mm-hmm.
So as already mentioned, TIER Mobility is now one of the very, very few providers of e-scooters, especially in Germany. Can you tell us a bit how this journey started and when you thought or when you came up with the idea to create your own company and to enter the e-scooter market as soon as it's ready?
Mm-hmm. So ever since launching and scaling Coop, I was super interested in the whole mobility space because I realized what it can do to people's life. So it might sound pathetic, but it really there back at Coop there were customers telling me personally or a team or via feedback how we changed their life just by giving them an alternative mode of transportation. So for them, just easier to get to work or to run errands during the lunch break. And so it really fascinated me how mobility can, what it can do with four people in cities. And then a year ago or 1.5 years ago, I started to think about the smaller e-scooters because the price came down and the quality got better. So it was worth thinking about starting a sharing model with smaller scooters, the kick scooters. And then it came all together by I met my co-founder Lawrence. He came back from a surf trip after his running his company Rebuy as a CEO for over 10 years. So we met. We also contacted Matthias Lauck, our CTO and third co-founder. He was the former co-founder also of Lieferando, so very experienced guy, also a serial entrepreneur, and it came all together. We started then TIER, exactly a year ago, in July or August, and we launched our first city, not in Germany, but in Austria, in Vienna. In mid of October, so only two and a half months later.
When you guys first met and talked about the idea of TIER, what was your mission, and did that mission change during this whole going to market part of doing?
Our mission, I think we had it almost from day one. It's change mobility for good. And that means that we want to add to the mobility options within our cities, and we work towards a goal of car-free cities, at least in the city centers. If you imagine, I work and live in the center of Berlin. It would be a dream to get rid of the cars and find alternative ways how to use the space. If you think like how much space the cars take up and just park the cars, it's insane.
Yeah, very true. Cool. So just to talk about the topic growth again, because we just had a quick discussion before the recording, and what Julian told us is that TIER already achieved over 5 million rides. So you guys hit over 1 million rides in the first 30 days, which is already a crazy number. And now, a couple of weeks later, we're already at over 5 million. First of all, congrats to that. And second of all, how did you make that happen? What were these tactics that you did? Did you do anything that the other providers didn't? Because as far as we can see online from doing research, you are the fastest growing e-scooter provider in the market, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe let me correct the numbers. So we have quite substantially over 5 million rides globally, and the 1 million referred in within 30 days referred only to the German market launch. So we started in June. We were able to start in June this year in Germany and hit 1 million German rides, so to say, in less than in 30 days.
Wow. Yeah, I remember the first couple of days, honestly. Sorry to interrupt you here, but everyone was driving these scooters. And like even those people who didn't know about this, I didn't know about the launch, to be completely honest with you. But I did my first ride on the first day.
Great. Good to hear that. Yeah, it was, it took Germany quite some time to get the regulation right. So the politicians took over a year to finally release the Verordnung, what it's called in German. And it was never clear when it will be really legal to hit the roads. So we are super happy that it fell also in the summertime and in the heat wave in Germany. So everything came together.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, it's a perfect time, like you mentioned, but what do you think, what kind of strategies or tactics did help you in the beginning with to just grow that massively on the user basis?
Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, our marketing or growth team did a fantastic job in launching a pre-launch campaign. So people could sign up over 3 to 4 months before the actual launch date in Germany, just for a waiting list. And we contacted them once we hit the streets and gave them some free rides. But the scooters itself, we don't do any paid user acquisition. So we never bought a single user via any ads. But the scooters are on the streets. There is tier written on it. Everybody sees them. So if you have 1,000 or 2,000 scooters on the streets, they market themselves. So from this perspective, this product with this very physical component in the streets, they market itself. And when you have a sufficient number of scooters, so the density is very important, then the user growth comes almost automatically, I would say.
So we're talking mainly about organic growth. So I guess also the referral part of the app is also like supporting the growth itself. I mean, if I refer a friend, I get one ride for free for myself and also for my friend, which is amazing as well.
Yes. Yes. Very, very crucial mechanism for us. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about the scooters, the e-scooters on the street, how do you guys manage to differentiate yourself? We have 4 different providers in Hamburg, I think 4 or 5. How do you differentiate yourself from your competitors? Is this just a pure design, or what do you do there?
I mean, you can differentiate on quite some dimensions. So one being the scooter itself. So we have a dedicated hardware team that co-developed our scooter. And it's said to be the best scooter on the streets by many, many tests. So the hardware itself and also a safe hardware on the streets is what our customers value, I guess. So also, feeling safe riding the scooter. And then on the brand component, you can of course differentiate. So we took quite some effort to think about like what's our brand strategy, what do we stand for, and how the appearance should be. And then not least in the customer facing app. So we have a very lightweight digital product. You can sign up within, if you know your credit card number or your PayPal account, within seconds. So I guess the record is somehow 15 seconds or so. So it's very easy to get on a scooter. Yeah, that's what we want to keep up. And what you don't see as a customer is the heavy operations in the background. And there we want to be excellent and automate as much as we can. Our operation team and IT teams do a really great job in automating as much as we can and think about smart ways how to be operational excellent.
So from my perspective, I see two things which are amazing with Tier as well, because I mean, not only for this podcast, but in general, I tried in the past few weeks and months, I tried not only Tier, but also your competitors. And what I realized is one of your competitors like forces me to do a photo when I parked the e-scooter, which is like one step more I have to do. And I don't have that one with you. So I'm a little bit more like stress-free with you on that part. And the other thing, what I realized, or at least two things, one of your other competitors, they charge my credit card in reserve with 10 euros because of fraud actions. I didn't see that with you as well. And also, like, I mean, you don't offer only credit cards, but PayPal as well. Some of your competitors only offer a credit card. And the last thing, which I think is the most important thing, and it's actually a total coincidence that I had this kind of experience, but I reached out to your competitors regarding issues as well. I had an issue with a tier. I think it was broken, maybe on the ride, maybe it was some guy who was riding the tier before me. I don't know, unfortunately. So what I did was, like, I parked it immediately. I called your support, and the support told me, like, sorry, sir, thank you, but you called us. You get a free ride, 15 minutes. And I didn't even ask for that. And I think this is some kind of appreciation, which is important as well. And I think at the end, probably the service idea that the people or the whole team has this service mindset will probably also support to outstand against your competitors, just to add quite a few ideas from my side as well.
Great. Great to hear. So, I mean, we try to be excellent in every touch point. It's not always possible, especially if you are in the type of growth phase and a lot of people riding. But yeah, we hope we can do it right for every customer.
Cool. So as you can hear out there, everyone here is very enthusiastic about e-scooters. But there's a lot of people out there who complain. They say e-scooters block the sideways, they're dangerous, they're too fast without a helmet. I'm very sure that you have had these insights before, and it would be very interesting for us to know, how do you handle these things? Because, I mean, also the coupe, as you mentioned, it's dangerous. A car is dangerous, a bus is dangerous. So how do you handle these complaints, in a sense?
Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, it's super interesting how many people have opinion on scooters. So that's just incredible to see. So whether good or bad, so it really kind of like divides the nation, I would say, this summer. But I mean, there are critics, and partially they are right. I mean, it's very early days in these micromobility days, or in this evolution happening right now. And of course, like the scooters were the first scooters we used and our competitors were using were, for example, not made for sharing. They were made for consumers and not for running heavy sharing operations with them. So they did not last too long. So our scooters, a little over half a year or 6 months, which is not environmentally friendly and not where we want them to be. So we are in the third generation of the scooters. Now we look at well over a year in durability of our scooters. So there's an environment argument that comes up all the time, and it's improving with every iteration of scooters and also of our operations. And then there's, of course, the parking issue. We try to give our best to educate our users when they sign up, but also before they take the ride, and even if they end the ride, that they park responsibly. However, it's still people using them, and yeah, we hope it's getting better. If really scooters are in the way and blocking, for example, like blind people or so, that's not nice. And we have squad teams, the cities can call and hopefully within minutes or half an hour, we move the scooters.
That's a cool approach. I didn't even know that existed, but very cool that you already have a solution for that.
Yeah, there's also a telephone number you can call if it's not parked nicely on the scooter.
Awesome. Yeah, so I think like with every new mobility provider out there, we had these bikes here. We had the normal scooters. There is people, as you said, it splits the nation, it divides the nation. There's always people who have a very strong opinion. And I mean, at least everybody talks about you, right? So if it's like everybody knows this, here we have a big newspaper in Hamburg called the Mopo. So I walked past and there was a big headline saying you should ban e-scooters. So as you said, everyone is talking about it. So that's it's very cool.
We cannot complain.
Exactly. And so in Hamburg, Tier launched in April 2019, but the company exists since summer last year. So I guess a lot of things was going on that we didn't see, that your customers don't know about. But you have a lot of very successful corporations, one with Audi, with Sixt as well. So was that preparation done in that short time frame, or what happened in these 6 months?
I think all the corporations were closed over the last 6 months, and we have a dedicated small team who does an excellent job in talking to these corporates and also mobility providers in the cities, because it's one of our strategies is not to, like, if we go to a city, we want to connect to the public transport, because only this way, if you have a train connection and then a last mile, for example, with the scooters, it starts to make sense for the cities, for the users, and we don't see each other or us as a competitor to public transport, but rather as the optimal partner. BVG in Berlin or the MVG in Munich, they see it the same way. So you can already today book a Tier scooter via the respective apps of the public transportation companies.
So in case somebody who listens to this podcast has not used Tier yet, you should definitely sign up with the code GROWSHOW and you get a nice start bonus from our friend.
So what I'm curious about is, I will just bring something up from my experience regarding what can prevent growth for a startup, for a company. I've experienced this with Uber competitor Lyft in the US. I've used a lot Lyft in the US, and then at some point my credit card service provider Visa just didn't accept Lyft anymore, so I couldn't use Lyft with my credit card. So what I'm curious about, since Lyft was always like charging like €2, €3, €4, small amounts of money, and what happened was like Visa thought like this has to be fraud because it's like small amounts and a lot of them. So what I'm curious about, because this can prevent like some users to use this with credit card, how do you tackle, an example, if Visa or MasterCard see your transactions, but they don't think you are fraud or prevent like the users to use your app with a credit card?
Yeah, I mean, this problem exists, I guess. We monitor very, very closely our failed payment rates, because it's crucial for us to collect these small amounts. And we did not have problems with blocking users after several rides, so as far as I know. But I can imagine that happened in the past with other providers, but then it was not the smartest fraud detection algorithm of Visa, I would guess.
No, it was definitely not.
So I don't think we have the problem right now. It's rather people running out of cash on their prepaid cards that's causing problems for us. So they have to put money on their cards to ride again.
So in the past few months since the company was launched, you raised more than 30 million in venture capital. And amongst these investors, also Formula One race driver Nico Rosberg. We'd love to hear more about how you reached out to your investors, how you got that amount, because that's not typical for a German startup to select double digits in terms of millions of euros. So how did that work out for you? Was that the plan, or did he approach you even, or how did that go?
Yeah, Nico Rosberg, Formula One champion, is probably the most famous of our investors. So this is a funny story. It actually came via our friends at Deutsche Bahn, because Nico Rosberg is running the marketing campaign of Deutsche Bahn this year. So Nico and Deutsche Bahn were in close collaboration, and we were talking to Bahn all the time. So this is how we got introduced to Nico, and I think it clicked. Nico is doing quite some investments in the mobility space, and it was a win-win for both sides, I guess. For example, we were then able to be at his conference. He has the Green Tech Festival here in Berlin, which was a couple of months ago, where he gathers a lot of people in the green tech and mobility space. A really great conference. So I'm pretty sure it's next year again. This year was a huge success.
So besides the money that he brought into the company, it's also the marketing that he does for you, right?
Yes. I mean, he's just such a humble guy. It's always good to have him speak positively about our company. And yeah, we are really happy to have him on board.
But Nico came later on as an investor, right?
He came in a later round, yes.
So how did you just approach to your very, very first investors, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, it was kind of like we are all, like all three founders were in the Berlin tech scene. So for us, it was not too difficult to get into contact with the investors. So actually I think we raised our seed round of roughly 2 million just a couple of days after we sat down at the notary.
Oh, wow.
That's great. So, I mean, since we're talking a lot about growth, just a different perspective, how many employees do you have currently?
I learned today it's already 320.
Wow, that's massive. I mean, how many were you like last year, end of last year?
End of last year, Christmas, I think we were less than 20 people. So we added 300 over since New Year. Quite some massive growth that comes with also a lot of challenges.
I can totally imagine that. I mean, at the end you have like a huge recruiting challenge on that end. So how do you tackle your recruiting topic? I mean, you have to get like a lot of people on board. How do you like establish still a great culture for your company? I mean, most people would say you are not in a startup anymore in terms of your size, because I mean, it's close to most of the like small or medium sized companies. I mean, you are like more like medium sized now. You're not in terms of size, not a startup anymore. So what do you think, what makes like helps you or supports you and getting people on board and establishing a great culture for your company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people is the resource we depend on. So it's just the people that make the company. So I think we were really lucky in attracting a lot of really good people, team members. Probably because the topic itself is hot. A lot of people are interested in mobility and changing how we move in our cities. So I think it was not too hard for us to find the right people. However, if I think back, we only had one one recruiter in January, I think, and he probably processed a lot of applications. So I think he probably still has nightmares from back from these days.
I mean, and not just in terms of employees, you grew a lot, but you also grew in terms of expansion, right? So right now, I think you're available in 12 cities in Germany, 30 plus European cities overall. What's the next plan, Julian? Is this going to be available in every country in Europe or in every country globally? Or how are your plans around your expansion and how do you tackle this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. We are, I think, by now in 15 German cities, 35 plus all over Europe. And this is 12 countries. I think on average, we opened a city per week, which is quite some effort. And our expansion team is working their asses off. Become more and more professional in launching the cities. So it was to open the first city was quite hard. And I'm not saying it's not hard anymore, but I think they really did they did grow on that matter.
Mm-hmm.
We don't communicate our expansion strategy, but I can say so much. There's a lot more to come. We just started.
That sounds actually pretty great. So I think our audience has now a pretty great understanding that Tier is a pretty fast growing company. So out of curiosity from my side, also especially my personal interest, growing fast comes with a lot of challenges. We heard a little bit about that already. What would you consider your biggest challenge as company and also like your biggest challenge for yourself during this massive growth in the past few months?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest challenge for the company right now is that we don't outgrow the company or the teams. Especially what makes it even more difficult that only half of our employees are sitting together in Berlin. The other half is distributed in the markets. So we have small market teams, city teams, all over Europe. And if you start, let's say, in Italy working for Tier and you never saw your coworkers in Berlin, it's quite hard to connect. And that's why we gather all of the employees in what we call our Tier Global Summit every other month to connect them to bring them all together here in Berlin and to work on challenges together but also to celebrate our successes.
That's awesome.
And your personal challenge?
My personal challenge is probably to let go in the first few months. You think you have to do everything by yourself, which is not the case, and you're probably not even the best one to do all these work on all these topics. So I'm glad that we have such a fantastic team and already a second layer or third layer of management.
I think a lot of like founders are like hustling and always like it's at the end it's your baby, so you're not like really easy to just let go of something. So I mean, I can totally imagine how hard this was in the beginning, especially. So what makes you productive each day? I can imagine that you have a lot of meetings each day and a lot of things to do, a lot of tasks. How do you manage to like be productive at the end? What helps you in the daily basis?
Pretty easy structuring your day. I don't have any special routines. I do morning routines or so. I just plan my day accordingly and leave enough space and time for all that stuff you cannot foresee the day before.
I mean, we had a lot of insights from you in terms of successful growth. You grew your user base, your employees, and everything. Can you tell us about something that went horribly wrong?
Horribly wrong.
The biggest fuck up that happened in the last 9 months, if you're willing to share, of course.
Tough one. I guess for us, in at first, the first big fuck up was that Germany did not pass the regulation as we thought in the beginning. We thought when starting tier, Germany will open within a couple of months, and we are ready. So we had to shift plans and then start in Austria. Austria is not too far from Germany and also from German culture. But I guess that was a fuck up in the early days. Yeah.
Okay, but that sounds like nothing really went too wrong, and then the timing was perfect with the heat wave, as you said. So things went very, very smoothly so far, and fingers crossed that it stays like this.
Thank you.
And with all the different providers in the market, I mean, this is very early to ask this question, but I'm pretty sure you and your co-founders have thought about this. Eventually, there will come a time of merger and acquisitions. Do you think it's realistic to assume that in a year or 2 years or 5 years, there's going to be one or two big providers that have acquired all of the other companies?
Very good question. And I mean, this market is, in my opinion, the most dynamic market since pizza delivery. So I think everything can happen. It's people raising so much money so fast, and if you, I don't know, if you launch, for example, like a wrong vehicle, like a scooter that does not perform, it can be that you're out. So I think it's super dynamic. It's really hard to project what happens. What I really believe is that we just started. The market is huge, and if I talk about the market for short distance trip within cities, so 0 to 3 or 4, even maybe 5 miles, it's just so big. And if we and some of our competitors together managed to steal some of the rights that are today still taken by car, then we are super happy.
Thank you so much for the insights, Julian. I'd like to wrap up a few key facts that you mentioned. It all started very early with the perfect role models. You mentioned your grandfather and some other people, which helped to push you in the right direction. Also, the group of co-founders that you had, very experienced people, including yourself. And I think after talking to a lot of founders, this was always one of the key factors they mentioned. It's like, found a company with the right people around you or it's going to fail, no matter how great the product or the idea is. So it's good that you also mentioned that. Also, you said organic growth. So you're now growing organically. You don't do any user acquisition for now. I'm not sure if that's in the pipe, but you achieved to grow to that number of over 5 million rides organically, which is incredible. And I think one of the key factors here to achieve this is what you mentioned twice throughout this conversation. Tier Mobility strives for excellence, not just in terms of product, hardware, software, but also what Serhat mentioned in terms of great customer support. And I think this is a very good key takeaway for everyone out there. Try to do everything as good as possible, of course. And at one point, even as the founder, you have to let go of responsibilities and let people do the job that can do the specific task maybe a bit better. Julian, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for being in the show. And we'll see what Tier does in the future. And we're very excited to see your growth in the future.